So with that, we're going to continue our study in Jude, but we're also going to look at Nehemiah, and we're going to look at some passages from Nehemiah. We're going to look at Nehemiah, the first four verses of Nehemiah. But first, let's read Jude from 20 to verse 23. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garments polluted by the flesh. Now let's open up Nehemiah, the first four verses. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hegeliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So we were looking at the book of Jude. And so why did we progress to Nehemiah? I want us to take a look what Jude means when he says praying in the Holy Spirit. Because I think this is a wonderful example of Nehemiah. How the Holy Spirit prepares Nehemiah for this prayer that he begins in verse 5 all the way through 11. I would recommend for everyone to read this prayer when we get home or perhaps in the break of this service and the evening service. But this is a very good example. Jude tells us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. And then he says to pray in the Holy Spirit. And so he's telling us to build ourselves up. He's telling us to be made in Christ's image, to be in his, always to be progressing in his image, so that we would be more, looking more like Christ on a daily basis. That every day we would increase. Because later on he says in a couple of verses after that, that we have to go out there. God is going to use us as instruments to bring people into Christ's church. So we must be primed. We must be tuned. We must, as a soldier, first get stronger before we are sent into the army. Before we are sent into war, we must build ourselves up. We got to get stronger. We must put on the gear. We must get prepared for battle. And so Nehemiah shows us an example of this praying in the Holy Spirit. The first four verses. I have 2 points here, which I will mention is preparation. And the second point is personality. We'll look at Nehemiah's preparation and Nehemiah's personality. We see that the Lord is the one who has prepared Nehemiah for this ministry that's ahead of him. The Lord's preparing Nehemiah for a ministry that he has to restore God's word back to Jerusalem. That is what he has given Nehemiah to do. And that's going to be through the building of the walls. And he's also going to restore God's word. We read in Ezra that the temple has already been restored. The temple is restored, but the people are not yet restored. And God prepares Nehemiah's ministry through his brothers, through these men who are these Jews from Judah. God sends them, and they sovereignly meet together in these paths. And that, of course, as we know, stirs up Nehemiah to pray. Israel's remnant is in great distress, they say. And the walls are broken down and the gates are burned down. And as a patriot for his country, and true zeal that we see in Nehemiah. This guy, he was a man who loved God and loved the people of God, because this city is the one that bears his name. Jerusalem is the city that bears his name, and to see that the walls are broken down and God, in a sense, is not glorified, that brings him down, and that his brothers are in distress. Like I said, as a man who loves God and the people of God, he desired to rebuild the walls. He wants to rebuild the walls. He wants to be used by God. And so he's burdened by this. He's burdened by this. And he wants to rebuild the wall that the temple may be secured. And that God, again, in essence, may restore his people, and that he may get praises, that he may be worshipped. And so God uses Nehemiah to bring reformation to Israel. God uses him. This is his preparation to his ministry, that he sends these brothers to tell him of these news, and then he launches off to fulfill his duty. But before he does that, before he brings reformation, we see that his heart is prepared. His heart is prepared. His heart is where it needs to be. His heart is in the right place. Nehemiah heard the call. He was prepared for the call. He was prepared for the ministry because his heart was prepared for this call. We see that in Nehemiah chapter 8 and 9, the word did a transformation on Israel. The word, it did marvelous things in Israel. They began to confess their sins. They've repented. That's what the word does. It transforms people. It goes right through the person, right where it needs to go, into the heart, what the wellspring of life. And so we know that Nehemiah, he was changed by this word because he knows the word very well. From studying Nehemiah, from reading this book, you could tell that he was a man who was highly trained and educated in God's word. He knew it very well. We can imagine that in his youth, he studied God's word. We could almost apply to Nehemiah as what is said of Ezra in chapter 7, verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, and to practice it, and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. So we see that he trusted God. He loved him. He read his word. He studied his heart. The Lord changed his heart, and he began to study his word. He knew that it was God's word. It was divine. It had power, so he studied it. And after studying it, you can't do anything, but you must practice it, because that's what it's screaming out. God's word is telling us, you must practice me. And so he practiced it, and of course, looking around him, you see that no one else is doing it, and so the automatic result is you must teach it. And so this is what he is doing. This is what transformed him. God's word has transformed him. And so he has a prepared heart, and so he's ready for the ministry that God has given him. We also see, very interesting, in this man's heart that he is eager to have communion and fellowship with God. He's very eager to have communion and fellowship with God. He loves God. This is a man who is in the fields, and he's as he's raking the leaves or mowing his lawn, he's praying in his mind. As he's helping the wife washing dishes, perhaps, or whatever he's doing, he's praying to God. As he's doing through his daily routine, going along, perhaps working or whatever he's doing, he's having communion with God. He loves God. He wants to have fellowship with God. Take a look at this. Chapter 2, verse 4. He's having a conversation with the king, and right in the middle of the conversation, he decides to pray. Then the king said to him, "What would you request?" The king saw that his face was saddened. And he says, "How could I be happy when my people are in distress?" And he says, "What is your request?" And we read that Nehemiah said, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Right in the middle of a conversation, he decides to pray. This is a man who was in love with God. He wanted to have communion with him, this sweet communion with him that we see in Christ, as Jesus loved God, that he wanted to have communion with the Father. And this is what Nehemiah had, this fellowship with God. He says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." We see that Nehemiah had complete trust in God. He had complete trust in God. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." He's basically saying, "King Artaxerxes, you are the king of this world. You are the king of this earth. You are the most powerful man in the world," just like perhaps Obama would be today. "And that king is the most powerful man in the world. But my God is the king of heaven. My God is the king of heaven. And so I prayed to the God of heaven. My God is the king of heaven, which makes him the king of kings." So we see that Nehemiah had wholehearted trust in God. Praying in the Holy Spirit, as what Jude says, is having wholehearted trust in God. King Artaxerxes could have wiped him out easily. I want us to take a look at the sacrifice that he did. He had a sad heart before the king. The king could have wiped him out any moment. You dare to bring a sad face in my presence? Take him out. I want people who are joyous around me. I don't want anybody to ruin my mood. He could have done that very easily. And that's why we read of Nehemiah that he was in fear. But still, he trusted in the Lord. We see this trust that Nehemiah had. We also see that, like I've mentioned, he loves God. Praying in the Holy Spirit is a love for God. It's a love for him. We see his prayer that it's just soaked with God's word. It's soaked with God's word. He had a complete, profound love for him. He's making references in his prayer from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and even passages from Daniel. But Daniel could have made references from those passages as well. But there's passages that we read here that's almost parallel, exactly the same as in Daniel. So Nehemiah, even though he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't even a priest, but yet it pleased God to use him. It pleased God to use him as his instrument. This is what was really impressed upon my heart in this study, which was really profound for me, that there was a need and God called him. There was a need in his day and God used him. He pressed it upon his heart and Nehemiah acted. He acted showing a testimony that he knows God. This is faith with works. How many of us profess faith? But where's the works part? And so God used for his work Nehemiah. And Nehemiah was a man who trusted and loved God. And that's who God uses. People who trust him and who love him. And those who love him, they obey him. And so when there is a need, he finds people to get it done. He finds people to get it done. It's a shame on us when God uses others when we are not able to do something. Blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, who hungers and thirsts for the things of God. But poor are those who are vegetables, who are vegetables, who don't do anything, who are idle, who are blind, deaf, who are lame in the things of God, who just sit around, who don't do anything. Perhaps that's to reveal that they are false converts, and that they are idle, that they are just sitting around doing nothing. That's why perhaps God isn't calling them into the ministry. How can he use someone who's not converted? Perhaps they are deceived, and that's what people need to examine themselves to see. Are you involved in some kind of a need? Is what the Lord, what grieves the Lord, does that grieve you? So Nehemiah heard the call, and he couldn't do anything but to act. He couldn't do anything but to act. He acted immediately. People often say, if I was only in that time period, or if I was only in that time period, I would have done this, I would have done that, I would have had an impact. If I would have been in Nehemiah's time, I would have been a warrior. But you know what? We have needs in this time. We have needs here just as much as we had in there. So where's the help? Where's the minister? Where's your help? For instance, in the reconstruction of this church, how many of you participated in the reconstruction of this church? It's a shame on us that an outsider had to pay for this reconstruction. But who was part of paying the fund? I don't have a list. I'm not asking who paid here. I don't know. I'm asking for each of us to examine themselves and see, was I part of the reconstruction? Was I part of that need? That was a terrible need that was needed to be fulfilled. What was needed to be completed? Was there prayer involved in our hearts when the church needed to be reconstructed? Was there prayer? Was there fasting involved in this prayer? Now, as I was asking myself these questions, I was burdened because I didn't pray. I didn't fast. And so that worked right through me. And I was hurt by that. That I did not have the same qualities that Nehemiah had, this power in the Spirit. And so I am guilty of that. But Nehemiah, he acted. Nehemiah acted. That's what the Word of God does. It purifies us. It makes us in the image of Christ. And praise the Lord for that. And so Nehemiah heard the call and he acted. He acted. Do we act when we hear the call, when there is a need in our time? And so Nehemiah heard the call because his heart was prepared. He was prepared. He knew who God was. Perhaps we don't act because we don't know who God is. But he heard him. And he acted upon the need. Now, how did he respond? How did he respond? Notice his personality. We see how he responds in his second point, personality. The character of the man of God. We see that his personality, or the character of the man of God, which God forms in the man, is God's pain is his pain. What hurts God is what hurts you. The Spirit of God prepared his heart that the news of the brothers in Jerusalem brought him such terrible grief. I want you to take a look at verse 4. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. He sat down. The news hit him so hard. It struck him so profoundly that he needed to sit down. You ever see in movies when somebody hears terrible news that they need to sit down? I have the privilege of seeing that. This word, this section stood out to me. The first thing that I saw was that he sat down, because when a father one time, he saw his son who was gunned down, that we couldn't save his life at the hospital. The bullet went right where it needed to end his life. And his father came down to identify his son, if that was his son or not. He was looking at him and he was saying, "That's not my son. That's not my son." And he kept saying it louder and louder, that's not my son. And we allowed him to get a little closer to him. And he was saying, "That's not my son." And the first thing he did was he crumbled down in bitter mourning. And so this is what affected him, is that he loved God with such a passion, and the people of God, that he needed to sit down, and he wept. That is what we see here. He is so burdened by this pain that he needed to sit down. Praying in the Holy Spirit is a sensitivity to God's emotions. It's a sensitivity to God's emotions. What hurts God is what hurts you. What's hurting the Spirit of God is what hurts you. Blessed are those, Jesus said, who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn in the things that I mourn for. I am holy, so you must be holy. And when sin creeps up upon you, we repent, right? Because we have the emotions of God. We hate sin, but when it's powerful and it influences us, when it rules over us, we mourn, we repent. We know we fall short of the glory of God, but yet Christ is victorious. Our hope is in Christ. And then Jesus says, "For they will be comforted." The Holy Spirit is the one who comforts us. We see that he wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. We see that Nehemiah, look at his personality, that he wept. He mourned for days and even fasted and he prayed. This word that we read in verse 4, he mourned for days. What is that days? In the first verse that we open up here, we read, "Now it happened in the month of Kislev." And then we read in chapter 2, verse 1, "And it happened in the month of Nisan." I looked at the Jewish calendar, and that's approximately 4 to 5 months. So he wept and he mourned for 4 to 5 months. He was burdened by this. This is not a sad little moment that passed by really quickly. He was hurt by this news. He was praying and he was weeping. This is the personality and the Spirit of God, that those things that pertain to God, they affect you. And so it's approximately 4 to 5 months that he persisted in diligent prayer. That he persisted in this diligent prayer night and day that we read. Mourning is in reference to his attitude of sorrow that God's interests have been neglected or even rejected. God's interests have been rejected or neglected. And other values have stolen their place. We read in Nehemiah, at the end of this book, that they've still persisted in the sins of their fathers. Nehemiah has a new beginning, but the same old ending. And we read that Nehemiah is again burdened by this, that they have replaced God for other things. And he's fasting as a testimony to his brokenness. He's broken over this. He's denying himself that God's way would be lifted up. He's denying himself that God's way would be lifted up. Lord, if your will is not done, let me not be fed. Let me not have the joys of this world until your will be done. Your word, your will is my bread. And of course, we see that he's praying. He's praying for his people, for the intercession of his people. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." And Nehemiah was the man who humbled himself. He was the man who humbled himself. He was praying before the God of heaven to seek his face, that he would bring reformation to Israel. Nehemiah wanted his will to be done. So again, praying in the Holy Spirit, just to sum everything up, is to have complete trust in God, to have love for God, which springs from his word. If you read his word, understand his word, you can't do anything but to love him. It's to love him, and it's shown evident in the love for his word. If we love God, we love his word. That's where we know of him. So it's a trust in God, and praying the Holy Spirit is a love for him. It's loving him that his will would be done. And praying the Holy Spirit is knowing God and the desire of his will to be fulfilled. It's the desire to be his will to be fulfilled, that God can use you and you are used as an instrument. So Nehemiah proves this well because he knew God. And because he knew God, he loved him. And because he loved him, he desired for his will to be done, or for his glory to shine forth. What is his will? That he would get glory for himself. And he acted in accordance to his will, directing his attention and his strength to him through fasting and prayer. He wants to be filled more with his strength and emptied of his own power. And how can we accomplish a divine will? How can we accomplish a divine will? How can we do anything for God? How can we do his will? If it's divine, how can we do it if we are but flesh? Only through divine strength and divine wisdom, divine humility. And so I ask that we would build ourselves upon our most holy faith, praying the Holy Spirit, that we would stand out from this world, that we would be lights in this world, that we may be used by God when we are in circumstances where God needs to act through us. May God's word be blessed. Amen.